morning. This is Linda Russell, Latin teacher at Butler Senior High School. The Rachel's challenge for this week is to speak with kindness. Mother Teresa once said, "Kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless." In today's lesson, we're going to learn about what the ancient Romans did for leisure. While they certainly enjoyed large-scale social events, like going to the theater, the chariot races, the gladiatorial games at the Colosseum, and the Roman baths, we're going to focus on smaller-scale events enjoyed by children and adults. Our evidence comes from references in ancient literature, archaeological discoveries, and representation of toys and games on frescoes, mosaics, ceramics, and other types of ancient art. When a child was born, friends and family present tiny metal toys or ornaments in the forms of flowers, swords, axes, if you can imagine that, and other tools, and especially lucky charms shaped like a half moon. They were considered good luck charms. These ornaments were strung together and hung around the baby's neck to amuse the child with their jingling or rattling. The Latin word for this was crepundia, C-R-E-P-U-N-D-I-A, crepundia, which is the Latin word for rattles. So these were basically a child's first toys. As you got a little bit older, young children enjoy playing with rag dolls, dolls that were made out of clay or wax. Some of the dolls even had jointed arms and legs. They even had little wagons and carts, if you think back to maybe the matchbox cars of your own childhood and the enjoyment that you had playing with those. Roman children instead would play with little wagons and little carts, little chariots even. The Roman poet Horace tells us of children even hitching mice to carts, building houses, and riding on hobby horses. Children enjoyed spinning tops, and they even drove hoops with sticks, and the hoops even had bits of metal attached to them that would jingle, and that would warn people that they might be in the way of a child coming who was driving the hoop along the road. Boys enjoyed walking on stilts, and they even enjoyed playing ball games, which I'll tell you more about in a few moments. Famous teacher Quintilian even tells us that they had ivory letters used by children as letter blocks are now. People of all ages, just as today, enjoyed playing with their pets. The Romans had dogs and cats, and they even had pet birds. In addition to toys, children played games that were similar to blind man's buff, hide and seek, seesaw, and jacks. They had board games and even used pebbles and nuts, just as children might use marbles today. Boys enjoyed riding on horseback. They enjoyed swimming and wrestling, not only for amusement, but as part of their physical training. If you lived in the country, you enjoyed things like hunting and fishing, just like we do today. Romans even enjoyed many track and field events, like foot races, jumping, and discus throwing. Hunting was an expensive and elaborate endeavor that involved dogs, horses, and large numbers of helpers, people that would help you hold the nets, people that would help you with your supplies. Wealthy Romans often invited their guests to their country estates to participate in a hunt. Sometimes all the guests were expected to do was just wait near the nets until the prey, most often deer or wild boar, were driven into them for them. All right, let's get back to the topic of those ball games in the ancient world. Most of the ball games in the ancient world involved throwing and catching. They rarely used a bat. They had balls of different sizes filled with hair, feathers, and air, of course. Here are a couple of different games that you might want to try if you want to experience life as an ancient Roman for a short period of time. Simply walk outside, throw the ball as high as you can and try to catch it before it hits the ground. The Romans did that too. If you prefer something more like a court sport with a ball, the Romans had a game like handball, where they would take a ball and strike it with their open hand against a wall. The ball would bounce on the ground, and then you would strike it again. The objective was to keep the ball in motion longer than your friend could keep the ball in motion. Another type of ball game was called trigon. T-R-I-G-O-N is the Latin word, trigon. It was played by three persons, arranged in the shape of an equilateral triangle. You use two balls, and players throw the ball at their opponent, who they think is less likely to catch it. Sometimes they even double-teamed an opponent, so skill with each hand was required. Sounds like the early makings of dodgeball. Standard Roman ball games resembled handball, and they even had some team sports, such as football, rugby, and soccer. But they didn't call them that, of course. Perhaps the most popular ball game in the ancient world was called harpastum, H-A-R-P-A-S-T-U-M, which was played with a ball similar in size and density to a softball. While we're not really certain how the game of harpastum was played, it appears to have been a rough and fast-paced team sport that resembles soccer, and it was played on a rectangular field. They also had balls that were like medicine balls, weighted down with sand. They came in all sizes and weights and were used to play a variety of games. The Romans would play ball in large open spaces, sometimes part of bath complexes, and even in smaller ball courts. Now, the Romans were also passionate about games of chance. The most common form of game for Romans was a game like our heads or tails. Another common game was called par impar. Perhaps you recognize the word par if you're a golfer. This was the game of odd or even, where each player guessed whether the number of counters held in the hand of the other player was odd or even. And, of course, the word par is the word for even. Children and adults enjoyed games played with knuckle bones of sheep and goats. Yes, real knuckle bones. These were called tali in Latin, T-A-L-I. They also had sets of knuckle bones or tali that were made from ivory, wood, metal, stone, and even precious gemstones. Knuckle bones that they play with are rectangular in shape and have four usable faces with the values of 1, 3, 4, and 6. You would usually throw four at a time. The worst throw, which was four ones, was called a dog or canis in Latin, C-A-N-I-S, which is where we get the English word canine. And the best throw in a game of knuckle bones was when all four sides were different after you threw them, and that was called the Venus throw. This is very similar to a game perhaps that you know of called Pass the Pigs, where you put the pigs in a cup, shake them up, and throw them out, and they land in all different positions. And the positions that they're in determine the value of the throw that you had. Children really enjoyed throwing the knuckle bones up into the air and trying to catch them on the back of their hand, like we might do today with jacks. Romans even played dice games with six-sided dice, just like we still do today. One of the most popular games, requiring no extra equipment except a sharp mind and the ability to add quickly, was a game known as Mora, M-O-R-R-A. The Romans used a Latin phrase that means to flash with your fingers, micare digitis, and that described the action during the play of this particular game. Usually played by two people, both players show any number of fingers of one hand at the same time, and simultaneously call out the total number of fingers they guess will appear. If a player correctly guesses the total number of fingers shown, that person wins a point. The better the players, the faster the game. Of course, there's a version of this game called Par Impar as well. It's played on the same principle, but using only combinations involving one or two fingers and guessing whether the total number of fingers shown would be odd or even. Finally, Romans played many different types of board games, including one which resembled backgammon. Evidence that Romans played board games survives in literature and art. But perhaps nothing is more convincing than to see the abundant remains of actual ancient game boards scratched into the surface of Roman streets and buildings. There were no fewer than three different types of games visible to us even today, carved into the steps that flank the Basilica Julia in the Roman Forum. Although we have no definite sets of rules, by comparing references in literature with visual representations of Romans engaged in actual play, and sometimes by studying games that are still played today, we can reconstruct or approximate these ancient pastimes. Strategy and capture appear to have been the dominant themes in Roman board games. One of the most popular was called Latrunculi, L-A-T-R-U-N-C-U-L-I, Latrunculi. Although the size of the game board varies, most commonly a Latrunculi board consisted of a grid measuring 12 squares by 8. You can actually find one of these on the internet and print it out for yourself to play with some friends. Each player had two types of playing pieces, plain pieces and a special piece, sometimes called a general or a king. The object of the game was to set up playing pieces strategically and capture the opponent's general. It was a similar game on a smaller scale called Mola, M-O-L-A, or Mill, which was a strategy game played on a board consisting of three concentric squares. Each of the two players began by taking turns in placing nine pieces, usually just stones or coins or whatever you have laying around the house, on the playing board. Once the pieces were set, players took turns moving their pieces. As in Latrunculi, the object was to capture the opponent's pieces. This was accomplished each time a player successfully created a mill or three pieces in a row. Well, I see our time is running short, so I hope that you enjoyed our lesson today, and I hope that you find time to enjoy some leisure activities with your family. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the rest of your day.